Ephesians chapter 2, looking at two verses that are very well-known verses, but pray the Holy Spirit will use this message to build up His saints and gather in His lost sheep. Ephesians chapter 2, the name of the message is Saving Grace. Saving Grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saving grace. Saving grace. What wonderful verses we have here before us. They proclaim the grace of God in Christ plus nothing. No man's works there. All the pure mercy, the sovereign mercy of God in Christ and Him alone. By grace, here is the motive. Here's the motive. The pure, free, and sovereign grace of God. By grace are ye saved. Salvation is of the Lord. It begins with Him, and it ends with Him. And it is all of Him. We cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And God's grace is saving grace. God does not set out to save His people and then leave it in man's hands. No. No. The Word of God sets forth only one Savior. Just one. The Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation only comes through Him. It's not of works. Not of our works. It's of what He's done. What He's done for sinners. But not of our works. And Paul here pens by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that the salvation of the Ephesian believers, and he's writing to the Ephesian believers at Ephesus, he writes here that salvation is entirely the gracious work of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God owes us nothing. Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is not a payment. It is the unmixed grace of God in Christ, and it flows to us by the pure mercy of God. And we are saved by grace through faith. And we are saved by God's grace in Christ. And this salvation, beloved, oh, it's glorious, isn't it? Isn't it glorious to you who believe? Isn't it magnificent? Doesn't it fill you with awe that God would save a sinner like me? Oh, my. We know what we are, don't we? Truly, truly, it's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. And salvation is not accomplished by anything we do. It says, and that not of yourselves. Salvation is not accomplished by anything we do. And think of this, Vicki and I have been talking about this. Now, if you talk to most folks who are in religion, they don't think that making a decision is a work. But yet they require that. And the definition for work in the English language is anything that you do with your mind or your actions. With your mind or your actions. So we are not saved by anything we do in our mind or our actions. So therefore salvation is all of the Lord. It's all, which is what the Scripture proclaims. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, this amazing grace here. Spoken of in our verse, these verses, flows from the throne of God. He is both the source and the fountain. And Christ had to die because we're sinners who cannot save ourselves. We cannot pay what God demands for our sins. And again, this salvation which is in Christ alone is not accomplished by any work of that we do or any effort on man's part. If man adds anything, it's no longer grace. We've talked about that many times. If you add just a pinprick of your works, it's no longer, you poisoned the well. It's no longer grace. And this verse clearly, clearly proclaims that salvation is by the grace of God. And if man had any part in it, we'd boast. We'd boast. I know, because I came out of religion, and I used to do a lot of boasting. Not anymore. We boast in Christ, right? In what He's done. We look away from ourselves, outside ourselves, and we look to Christ and Him alone. Let's look at our text again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man has nowhere to boast because salvation is of the Lord. No room for the believer to boast. It's in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was He who planned it. It was He who redeemed us. And it is He who saves sinners by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God, drawn sinners to Christ, ruined sinners, sinners just like me. Oh my. God's elect are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. They are bought from death to life by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is all by God's free and sovereign grace. Again in our text, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This gracious salvation is through faith. Not that our faith is the cause or source of our salvation, but it is God's appointed means of receiving and enjoying this salvation. Brother Norm Wells brought this out this week while I was chatting with him. He said, faith is the channel to trust Christ. And it is God who gives, and it is God who opens the channel. There it is. Now many will sit and tell you that they believe that salvation is by grace, but in talking with them, listening to what they have to say, you quickly find out that they interpret grace a lot different than what we do. You quickly learn that they believe in salvation by their works. Here's the way that false religion usually sets forth salvation by grace. And then we'll look at some aspects of saving grace. They say this, false religion says this, man is in need of salvation because he's a sinner. We would agree with that. Huh? That's all. Man's a sinner. We need a Savior, don't we? And then they say this, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross for every person to make salvation possible. They're off the rails. Christ came to redeem His people, and He did it. He did it. And false religion will say this, Christ having died on the cross and is shedding His blood, God now by His Holy Spirit goes through the world graciously offering salvation to every person because He wants to save everyone. I hear this all the time. God saves His people, beloved. He redeems His people. He has redeemed His people. And the Holy Spirit regenerates His people. And then false religion says this, man, as they hear the message of salvation, have a choice to make. It's their decision. Let me tell you this. Scripture says there's none that seeketh after God. That's man's decision. None. Scripture says there's none righteous. That's man left to himself. That was me before the Lord saved me. I had no desire to come to Christ. I ask you, beloved, you who are saved, was it the same with you? But God moved mightily, moves mightily on the believer and turns us to Christ, regenerates us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're born again. And we run to Christ. We run to Christ. And false religion says it's up to every man to exercise his free will and to refuse God's gracious offer of salvation and thereby seal their own soul to hell. Let me tell you this. If God left every one of us, we'd all go to hell. But God is gracious to His people. For by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's something to question about this line of thinking. In those aspects of false religion that we looked at, here's something to question. Who has the last and final word in salvation? Man or God? Well, in what we looked at, it's man, isn't it? But beloved, that's not what our text says. That's not what our text says. If our text says, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the answer to the question based upon false religion, false gospel, is man is sovereign. But oh, beloved, the Bible shows us that God is absolutely sovereign. Grace believers say without apology, that Scripture teaches no such thing, is what false religion proclaims. The Word of God declares God's salvation to His people to be all of grace. All of grace. All of grace. If you are saved, you are saved by the pure mercy of God in Christ. It's because God's had mercy. And Paul said, I've obtained mercy. I don't get what I deserve, right? Grace, grace, and nothing but the grace of God in Christ. So let's look at some aspects of saving grace. For grace to be saving grace, these things must be so. Number one, turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 1. For grace to be saving grace, these things must be so. Saving grace is electing grace. It's electing grace. God chose a people. If He hadn't chose anyone, right? If He hadn't chose us, we'd never choose Him. Praise God, He chose the people. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6. Saving grace is electing grace, the first point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us. Now Paul's writing to the Ephesian believers. He's not writing to everyone. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. Blood-bought saints. According to that, He has chosen us in Him, in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. Well, how can you do any works if God chose you before the foundation of the world? It's certainly not based upon what we do, is it? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So God chose a people in eternity, right? Saving grace is electing grace. Whether people like it or not. The Scripture declares this. And the believer embraces this, knowing that if God hadn't chose us, we'd never be saved. And look at verse 5. According to the good pleasure of His will. If you're saved, it's according to the good pleasure His will, of the will of the sovereign God of the universe. Oh, this makes the believer rejoice. And look at, to the praise of the glory of His grace, we give Him all the glory. All of it, beloved. All of it. Because what? He's worthy, isn't He? He's worthy. He's worthy. Number two, for grace to be saving grace is particular grace. Particular grace. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. Particular grace. John chapter 17. Saving grace is particular grace. In the Gospel according to John chapter 17, this particular grace is undeniably set forth before us. Look at verse 2. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Now remember in Ephesians, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. When were we given to Him? Before the foundation of the world. And it was based upon nothing in us. Nothing in us. But the pure, free, and sovereign grace of God in Christ. Eternal life is said in this verse to be given to as many as Thou hast given Him. And we saw who they were in Ephesians chapter 1. Now look at verse 6 in the same chapter. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. God's name is manifested unto the men which were given to Christ before the foundation of the world by the Father. And then look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He's not praying for everyone, but He prays for His people. But for them which Thou hast given Me, for they, and look, these are the words of the Master. These are the words of the great Redeemer. Look at this. For they are Thine. Oh my. Christ prays for those the Father gave Him. Turn, if you would, over to John chapter 6. Again, we hear these words of the of our blessed Lord as he establishes who will come and follow him. Who are the ones who follow him? Who are the ones who come to him? Well, religion would tell you it's the people who make a decision, right? Well, this verse destroys that. Look at John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me. Now, I remember talking to Norm a few times, a few years back, and he says, religion changes words in Scripture. They change words. And they twist things to however they want. But we're going to read this verse as it says. What does this verse say? All that the Father giveth me, we know from Ephesians 1 that those are those who the Father gave to Christ, shall come to me. It doesn't say anything about us making a decision or walking the aisle or praying a prayer. Although, do we run to Christ when the Lord saves us? Absolutely we do. But see, this is God who says, shall. There's no doubt here. This is why we say we're on the trail of God's sheep. We preach and proclaim the gospel, and God does the same. Remember Mephibosheth? David said, go and fetch him. We believe in fetching grace, don't we? Oh, the Holy Spirit goes forth with power, fetches his people, brings them to Christ. Brings them to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at the security for the believer in Christ. Remember this morning we looked at all the things going on in the world and all the things we see, but yet we can have rest and trust in Christ. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll never leave. You see the fallacy of people who say you can be saved and then lose your salvation and be saved and lose your salvation and be saved. We won't have nothing of that, will we? No. Our security is in Christ, in him alone. And he will never cast out his people. I will in no wise cast out. Now, we are sinners saved by grace, and we hate sin more in ourselves than anyone else. And I know you who believe battle sin just like I do all the time. And it's a constant war. But let us have hope one day that battle will be over. That battle will be over. Oh, we'll be like Sister Marge, who's now in glory. Perfect. Sinless. Oh my. Beholding the face of our Redeemer. Now saving grace, the next point is, saving grace is irresistible grace. It's irresistible, beloved. Men do not come to Christ kicking and screaming against their will. They don't. God's elect willingly come. We come willingly. We're given a new will to come. A new nature. Made willing in the day of his power. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 65, verse 4. Do you know that God causes his people to approach him? That God causes his people? Brother Neil brought that out in his prayer. Lord, use the message to bring your people. Because he has to do this. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed. Now, if you're saved, you're blessed. You're blessed. Because look at what our text says here. Blessed is the man whom thou, or woman, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Oh my. God chooses people. And look at this, it's irresistible. This is irresistible grace. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Oh, that he may dwell in thy court. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Beloved, this is irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. I like to call it invincible grace. You can't stop it. Oh my. Irresistible grace. Well, man is being born in Adam have no desire for Christ, no desire to come to him for salvation. The children of promise come by faith, which is a gift of God. We come by faith, which is a gift of God. And we come willingly. We come willingly. You remember Zacchaeus? Make haste! Oh, he made haste, didn't he? He came down. I like what Brother Donnie says. He probably skinned bark coming down that tree. My goodness. Oh, we come willingly. And we come irresistibly. Irresistibly. Because God has given the believer one heart And he's put a new spirit within. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Saving grace is irresistible grace because he gives us a new heart and a new spirit within. And is this not mercy? We don't deserve this. We don't deserve this at all. Mercy. I obtained mercy. I can stand before you and say, I obtained mercy. And I know every believer in here could do the same thing. We've obtained mercy. Mercy. My goodness. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. And I will give them. Now remember, this is the same God who's speaking. This is our God, the same one who said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. David wrote that. And this is speaking, this is our God speaking now. He says, and I will give them one heart. One heart. There's no division. One heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh. Brother Newell and I were talking today about how we were before the Lord saved us. And it's like a whole new person, isn't it, brother? It's incredible. It's a whole new life. I think about that old man. I know my flesh. I know I still struggle with my flesh. But I think of how I used to think, how I used to act. It's like a whole other person. Truly, the believer is a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ. And I'll give them one heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. A heart that seeks and hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Why? That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And oh, look at this, beloved. Oh, and they shall, again, is there any question here? Is man in here in the sense of, well, you know what? Maybe I have to make a decision before all this. We don't see that, do we? Not at all. This is the Almighty God speaking, and He says this, and they shall. There's those little words again. Those little hinge words. They shall be my people. This is irresistible grace. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Oh, this is marvelous. Brother Newell, our God is King, and He is our God. There was a time when we didn't think that. But now the believer, oh, he marvels in who God is. He marvels in the grace of God in Christ. And I will be their God. Irresistible grace. Saving grace is irresistible grace. And saving grace is justifying grace. Justifying grace. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And put your finger in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Saving grace is justifying grace. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate. Who are those? Those He chose before the foundation of the world. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Oh, beloved, the sins of God's people are imputed to the great substitute. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at this. Substitution. What a magnificent verse on substitution. For He, God the Father, hath made Him to be sin for us. Christ, our sins are imputed to Him. The perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who knew no sin. Perfect. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Our sins are imputed to the great substitute, and His righteousness is imputed to believers. What a magnificent verse, which just shines the substitutionary work of Christ. Oh, the imputation of our sins to Christ and the imputation of His righteousness to us. And God's elect are righteous. Made righteous, justified. So saving grace is justifying grace. We're made righteous totally and completely by the imputed righteousness of Christ. Do you see? Do you see why it's not of our works? Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saving grace is preserving grace. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 24:13, and I'll read Galatians 6:9, which says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Saving grace is preserving grace. Preserving grace. They that endure to the end shall be saved. And God keeps His people. He keeps them. He keeps us. We are kept by the power of God. Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Well, who is he that shall endure unto the end? Put your finger in 1 Peter 1:5. Scripture declares that men must remain faithful to Christ to be saved. Without doubt, it's established in Scripture. But man, being weak in himself by the presence of sin, cannot keep himself. If there's one thing that anyone must do from the establishing of salvation to maintaining salvation, then salvation is not all of grace, right? Salvation's either all of grace or it's not grace at all. God's people are faithful, and they shall not waver from their hope of salvation. Why? Because they are kept by the power of God. Beloved, salvation's all of grace. All of grace. They are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at 1 Peter 1:5. Look at this. This is magnificent. Now, I was in religion, and they keep telling you, you got to do all this stuff. And man, you get tired. You get wore out. Wore down. You hear a message, and then you failed that night. But not with grace. We are kept by the power of God. We're kept by Him. Saving grace is preserving grace. Look at this. Who are kept, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. By God's almighty power, the believers kept. How? Through faith. We believe. We believe and we continue to believe. I love what Brother Henry said a long time ago. He said, "We're saved and we're being saved. And we will be saved because we continuously come to Christ." Continuously. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So saving grace is preserving grace. God keeps His people. Now that doesn't give us a license to go out the door and go crazy, does it? It doesn't. But the believer can rest in the fact that those who God saves, He keeps. He keeps. Kept by the power of God. Oh my. Saving grace is, the next point is, saving grace is glorifying grace. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. And then put your finger in Romans chapter 5. Saving grace is glorifying grace. God's people, heaven, Christ, eternal glory, eternal salvation, eternal life. They have been redeemed, purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." And then turn over to Romans chapter 5. God's people are truly saved by the grace of God in Christ alone. And this saving power, this saving grace, has none of man's works. None. And remember, works is anything you do with your mind or actions. With your mind or actions. Romans chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Saving grace is honorably set forth as being God's grace and is the gift given to God's people by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Romans 5, 14 and 15. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." There's man's fall. "For if through the offense of one, we fell in Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man," salvation's only in Christ, it's nowhere else, "by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So true saving grace is declared to be by God's election, by God's free grace. And this marvelous grace, beloved, is for a particular people who shall be irresistibly called out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by grace, the elect are justified. And by grace, the elect are kept. And by grace, we will one day be glorified by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the way, means, or instrument by which we receive and enjoy salvation. And this saving faith is not a product of man. It's not a product of man, but it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. And we give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 25. Do you know that any good works we do are not ours, but by the grace of God, and we have no clue when we do them? A lot of folks like to tell you what they do in religion. I know, I used to be that way. Boasting all the time. Well, I went and knocked on 500 doors this week. Just to brag about it. Just to brag about it. Is it good to talk to folks? Absolutely, but we don't have to brag about it, do we? Oh, my. Now, we share with one another. We share with one another when we get an opportunity to talk to someone. But back then, it was like putting notches on the belt. And that's what religion does. Look at this in Matthew 25. Look at this. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now look at this. Prepared for you. This kingdom is prepared for God's people from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now, remember the folks in Matthew 7 who say, Lord, we've done all these things for you. And the Lord said, Depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you. Right? They're proclaiming what they've done. They're proclaiming all their religious works. And that's religious folks in that chapter. They're proclaiming all the things that they've done. Look at this. Then shall the righteous answer him, verse 37, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger and fed thee and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? They have no idea. No idea at all. It's the opposite of religion. And the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I couldn't get by that without commenting on that. The King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Oh, my. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. And we can conclude. We can conclude with what we've looked at tonight, that saving grace is salvation by grace alone, without our works. Without our works. It's all by the grace of God. If you're trusting in your works, cast them aside and flee to Christ. Oh, that God would make you willing. Oh, that God would show you that you can't be saved by your works. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at this. Verse 20 to 28. Now, there's a lot of folks that try to live by the law, isn't there? A lot of folks. A lot of folks that measure other people and say, well, these folks ain't doing this. They should be doing all this stuff. A lot of folks do that. I was guilty of that, to my shame. Look at this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, not of works of righteousness which we have done, right? But according to His mercy. For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Right? It's not of works, is it? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law shows us our sinfulness, beloved. It shows us our utter inability. Our utter inability before God. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, verse 21, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Well, that destroys the false thinking. People say that, you know, someone will die and they never believed in Christ, but all of a sudden they're in heaven. No. Upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's the level playing field, beloved. There's where we're no better than anyone else. I am what I am by the grace of God. Being justified freely by His grace. Freely by His grace. For by grace are you saved. Freely by His grace. Oh my. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, by what He did on Calvary's cross, He purchased His people. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Well, it is excluded. There's no room for us to boast. No room for us to boast. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, look at this, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then I'll go back to I'll just read the verse. Keep that in mind, what we just read there in Romans 3:28. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The believer has no room to boast. No room to boast in himself or herself. No room, no room. But we make our boast in Christ. He has saved me. He has redeemed me. And He saves all who come to Him. Oh, that God would make you willing. Oh, that God would make you willing to flee to Christ.